My son will help you out. I'll help you out.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Faithful Word Baptist Church this evening. It's so good to see you all here. for our Wednesday night service. Find your seats now and take a songbook. Go to hymn number 2. We'll begin tonight. Hymn number 2. Number 2, glory to his name. Hymn number 2. Once you find your place there in the songbook, we'll get started and sing together on that verse. Number 2, down at the cross, my Savior died. Glory to his name. Hymn number 2. Let's sing it out more this evening. Hymn number 2. Sing it out now. Blessing on the service. So let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church on this Wednesday evening. We thank you for the safety you've allowed us to have this week so that we're able to be here. We just ask, Lord, your blessing upon us as we come to gather together here and sing unto you. We just ask your blessing and that you fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to be edified and encouraged as we sing these songs unto you. And Lord, that you'd also open our hearts and ears to receive the message tonight. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon Brother Segura as he comes and preaches your word to us. Fill him with your Holy Ghost, fill him with power and with unction, that he may preach boldly and clearly unto us so that we may be receptive and open to receive your word tonight. And that all that takes place would give you the honor and the glory that you deserve for it. We'll take you forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Up to hymn number 14. Number 14, kneel at the cross. Hymn number 14. So we begin there on that verse, kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Hymn number 14. Sing it out nice and strong on that verse now. Hymn number 14.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you.
this time we're going to go over the bulletin. So if you need a bulletin, please raise your hand. And the ushers will bring you a bulletin as soon as they can. If you have your bulletin, go ahead and open it up. We're going to quickly go over it. On the upper left-hand side is our service times. Below that is our soul winning times. And at the very bottom is our salvations and baptisms for the year. On the right side, once again, happy birthday to all those that had a birthday and an anniversary in the month of January. You know, happy birthday to you, and may you have a wonderful year. On the back, congratulations to the Meether family on the birth of David Isaiah, born Monday, December 30th. And he was weighing 8 pounds, 9 ounces, measuring 20 inches. And ladies, please join us for a baby shower. Actually, that passed. But upcoming events are right there. The Fur Bay Wedding is coming up. Pastor Irvin Thompson is going to be preaching on January 22nd. And Pastor Shelley will be here February 19th. So at this time, let's go over the soul winning for the week. And usually I have a million pens on me, but not today. But this will work. Orange highlighter, amen. All right, any salvations for Monday? We got two over here. We got one right here. Any other salvations? We got five right over here. And any more? Tuesday? Five? Six? Six for Tuesday. Anybody else? And today? Five? Anybody else? All right. Brother Ramon, how many? Three in the back. Amen. All right, keep up the good work with soul winning. Brother Daniel, lead us in the next song, please.
All right, take your hymnals. Turn to hymn number 264. Number 264, Once for All. Hymn number 264. We'll sing this out together, starting on that verse, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. Hymn number 264.
Free from the Law.
Number 207, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Hymn number 207, Not Have I Gotten, But What I've Received. Number 207, lift up your voice on that first now. Number 207.
Not Have I Gotten.
time, the ushers are going to pass around the offering plates. And while they're passing the offering plates around, please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39.
Genesis 39, the Bible reads, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper."
Dear Lord, thank you for Faith Word Baptist Church, Lord. I pray that you'd help us all to love one another more and to love the lost in this world. And I pray that you'd fill Brother Segura with your spirit, Lord, and give us all ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Give me 1 second. I'm going to try to do something I haven't ever done before. And that's try to preach without an energy drink in my body. Amen. Forgot to get one, so I'm going to do my best. Let's see if it's all natural or if I'm artificial all the way, right? So let's just cover what Pastor is obviously doing. Pastor's on a recon right now. I got a missions trip coming up in March, and it's going to be the ones that we've been talking about. The cruise ship missions is what we're going to be doing in March. Right now, there's about 19 of us going. And so praise the Lord that God has provided the funds to pay for all 19 of us. You know, it took me a while to get everybody's plane tickets, so I'm sorry. I know that I was going to get it done Monday, but I finally got it done today. So everybody, if you're going, you should have your flight info. I'll text to you, and if not, come see me, and I'll make sure you have it. Amen. But he's on a different cruise, just seeing how it all works so he can help me have the best trip when it's time for us to go. And so that's what he's trying to become, an expert on these cruise missions trips, because they absolutely make sense. Amen. They're very affordable. They provide a place for you to be able to stay. They give you all you can eat. Sounds like a Baptist cruise ship for sure. And the soul winning has to be good. We're going to the Bahamas, so we'll be having 4 stops in the Bahamas in March, and then we plan to do another one Brother Ramon's going to run another one probably in the summertime, and we're trying to get one going in Spanish countries. So if you speak Espanol very fluent, you're invited as well. Just kind of like a quick seed that I'm planting. So we're looking at that to see if we can go on a cruise that's maybe about 10 days, you know, in the Spanish-speaking countries. And anybody who obviously speaks Espanol, we would love your help to help us win as many souls as possible. Amen. So if you have your Bibles right there in Genesis chapter 39, go ahead and go to verse number 7. It's a story of Joseph when Joseph was tested and he had to decide whether I'm going to do wrong, whether I'm going to do right. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. So this woman's trying to commit adultery with Joseph. And you can always go read the entire story later on if you want. I'm just going to focus on these three verses. But Joseph refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph understood that adultery is a great sin. It is great wickedness against God. And if I were to say, how was he able to overcome this temptation? How was he able to have, quote unquote, success in this moment of being tried? It's because I believe Joseph feared the Lord. And if you have the Bible, go to Genesis 42:6. Genesis 42:6. And the title of my sermon tonight is My Biggest Fear. My Biggest Fear. Go ahead and keep going to Genesis 42. So tonight I kind of want to preach on fear. And fear is a human emotion. Fear is something that we all have. There's different things that we fear. For example, a lot of people fear failure. Some people fear underperforming or not achieving their goals, so they never tell anybody what their goals are. You know, not that it's a good or bad thing, but some people just don't want to put themselves out there because they're afraid to fail. Other people, they fear rejection. Some people fear being left out, ignored, or not liked. That's why a lot of times people do the easy thing or they try to impress someone by doing something stupid or wicked just because they're afraid that they're not going to get liked if they don't participate in whatever act they're participating in. Obviously, the fear of death is a big one. There's a lot of people out there that don't know what happens when you die. You know, there's also the fear of not being good enough. Some people fear not being successful financially or not being able to find a job. And, of course, the fear of the unknown. Some people fear not knowing what's going to happen next. As a perfect example, I got this email, and this email came in on January 4th. And this email is from a guy named Tom. And I'm not sure who this guy really is, but this is how the email starts. It says, this is my idea to rid the world of nuclear weapons. So I thought he accidentally emailed us. I'm like, nuclear weapons? What the heck? You know, so I kept reading. I am a 55-year-old liberal from San Francisco Bay Area that has worked for Apple Computer under Steve Jobs in the early 2000s. I have been paying attention to your preaching for quite some time. So he's a sycophant. He's a guy that doesn't like us but just listens to us, and I'm pretty sure he has some kind of motive behind whatever the heck he's up to. So he's been listening to us. So he decides to email us because I've been working here for, what, 7 years, maybe less? I don't know. But I never had this guy emailed before. But apparently he's been listening to us. He said, I will have to say that you remind me of Adolf Hitler. He's not talking about me because I'm brown, all right? He's talking about Pastor Anderson. In case you haven't figured out who he's emailing, he's not emailing me. He's emailing Pastor Anderson. You are too stupid to come up with the idea below. You are a stupid little kid who has studied the Bible and thinks he knows everything. I have studied the Bible also, and I don't hate Barack Obama. I voted for him and cried when he became president. Barack Obama's trying to save the world from nuclear annihilation. What are you doing to save the world? And then he gives me this long list of stuff he's going to be up to or whatever. So, you know, I commit a sin. The Bible says not to speak in the ears of a fool, for he would despise the wisdom of your words. So I'm just going to confess my sins tonight. I emailed this fool. And I said, I understand where you are coming from, but I must address your email with clarity and truth from the prophecies in the Bible to speak about nuclear weapons. Why not? First, the Bible says in Zechariah 14:12, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes. and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. If you've seen Terminator 2, you know where I'm going with this, amen? And if you haven't, don't watch it, all right? It ain't worth poisoning your brain. This verse graphically describes the devastating effects of a nuclear blast, which aligns with what we know about the consequences of nuclear weapons. The imagery of flesh, eyes, and tongue consuming away perfectly matches the effects of atomic blasts, an unmistakable sign of what will come in the end times. In Revelation 18, it says, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Only a nuclear weapon could destroy a nation of this magnitude in a single hour. What other weapons has this capability? If you have an answer, I'm waiting. Revelation 18, for in 1 hour so great riches have come to naught, every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off, and they cast dust in their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, hey, look up Pastor Anderson's Revelation series and look up Babylon USA, look up After the Tribulation, and it'll help you out. So I'm just trying to help this person out, sort of, kind of, emailing him this stuff. And basically, I just told him, listen, eternal life is far more important than any political figure or worldly concern. John 3:16, I put it in the email. You guys know what it says. Without salvation to Jesus Christ, you are destined for hell, a little place described in the Bible, regardless of what happens to the world around you. Instead of mocking and arguing, I urge you to repent of your unbelief and believe the gospel. This is the only way to escape eternal punishment in the prophecies, in the prophesied nuclear devastation outlined in the Bible. Yada, yada, yada. Watch this documentary if you want to know more. And that's what I put down in the email. And I said this. I hope you take this warning seriously as it comes from a genuine concern for yourself. Sincerely, Brother Segura. Well, he emailed back. I watched the documentary film that you told me to watch. Yeah, right. Your church and your pastor, Stephen Anderson, is paranoid, delusional, conspiracy theories that interprets the Bible in such a way that your church predicts the destruction of America in 1 hour because of the judgment of God. Your church predicts that America will be destroyed by nuclear weapons and America, the great Babylon, will never be inhabited again. This is a very dangerous thinking because Christians like the ones in your church believe that nuclear war cannot be avoided. I am glad that conservative Christians like you are not in control of nuclear weapons. Ha, 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 ha. Clearly, this guy is tripping. Clearly, this guy's afraid. Clearly, he's out of his mind. And he's worrying about something that biblically you cannot stop. There's nothing you can do about it, buddy. Hey, a nuclear holocaust is coming to a country near you. Amen? And why is my sermon called My Biggest Fear? Because I'm going to tell you what my biggest fear is. It ain't nuclear weapons. It ain't failing. It ain't whatever your fear is. My biggest fear for this year, my biggest fear is that I don't fear God enough. That's my biggest fear. I don't care about the persecution that you guys see online, which I don't even consider it persecution. No one's going to come kill you. Everybody's talking smack. People are still trying to destroy our church. McMurtry, Cassandra. They're still at it. Mocking us, mocking our pastor. Talking smack, not that I care, but when I go and I go live on our live stream, hey, they pop up. So I'm like, what are these clowns doing now? Just mocking us, making fun of us. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to just have people hate us. I don't know. But I'm not afraid of anything they're doing. I'm not afraid of that Andrew Luza, whatever the heck that guy's doing. Not afraid of that guy Luza. Is he married yet? Does he have a girl or is he like reprobate now? Or what's going on with that dude? But I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to focus on something, I'm going to focus on fearing the Lord, on fearing God. Amen? And I'm just talking about the words fear God together. They appear 10 times in the Bible, six in the Old Testament, four in the New Testament. And why is it important to fear God? Here's one of the reasons. I'm going to give you four. One of the reasons I recommend, I'm telling you, you got to be a person. I mean, think about it. If God's looking at you, Will he be able to say to the angels in heaven, hey, you know, I'm sorry, Brother Johnson, I just happened to see you. Brother Johnson, that guy fears God. You know, brother such and such, that person fears God. Do you think God, if he were to look down from heaven and look at you, would he be able to say that about you? I hope so, because your life literally depends on it. Now, we know God is long-suffering. He'll suffer a long time with our BS. But, hey, God's patience will run out. And if you don't get right, hey, he's going to help you. Hey, and I'd rather just humble myself than to get humbled by God. But one of the reasons why we must be people that fear God is because it's going to help us to do the right thing as we just saw in Genesis. Amen? Amen. And once again, what happened in Genesis? Hey, it is what it is. You know, Joseph says, hey, I can't do this great sin, this great wickedness. I don't want to sin against God. Why? Well, this isn't like the greatest verse, but it is there. It is in the Bible. I told you to go, I believe, to Genesis chapter number 42. You know, for the sake of time, going to meet me in verse number 10. Actually, let's go a little faster because I need to wrap this up as soon as I can. Let's go to verse number 17, where Joseph's already messing with his brothers. He pretends he doesn't know what they're saying. He's using an interpreter. The brothers come to Egypt. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him. He decides to mess with them, accuse them of being spies. He ends up locking them up for 3 days, and then he goes to see him after 3 days. And this is what he says. He says, when they heard that, verse 17, and he put them all together into ward 3 days, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. And I don't think he's joking. I think that's the reason why he didn't commit adultery, and I also believe that's the reason he didn't do his brothers hurt after what they did to him. I think the fact that he knew that, hey, if I go after them, God's going to come down on me. Hey, I'm not going to do it. And guess what? I'm pretty sure it was hard for him not to go a little bit further besides locking them up and maybe torturing them a little bit to kind of get him back for what they did to him. But the fact that he feared God is why he only locked them up and the punishment wasn't severe. Go ahead and go to Acts chapter number 5. But we see this throughout Scripture. We see this in the Old Testament, New Testament, people that claim, hey, I fear God. And because of that, they're able to do hard things. If you can get an Acts 5, great. If not, don't worry about it. I'm just going to start reading from verse number 30. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus whom he slew and hanged in a tree. Verse number 31, him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. But this is talking about the apostles. The apostles are preaching. And, of course, they're being threatened. They're being commanded by the Pharisees to not to preach about Jesus Christ. And we knew that these guys were serious, the ones that were persecuting the apostles, because you see later on that they went from threatening them, commanding them not to preach Jesus Christ, to literally saying, hey, let's figure out a way to kill these individuals. They're going through something very, very hard. But obviously before that, we have the famous verse where Peter and the other apostles answered these guys when they're commanded not to preach about Jesus Christ. They say we ought to obey God rather than men. Why? Because they fear God rather than men, and they were able to do something extremely hard. They are facing death. They already faced jail time. They're already being threatened. But they came and they said, hey, listen, we're going to obey God, you know, rather than men. So do what you want. But why did they do that? Because they had a strong fear of God and they would ever have success. Amen? Go to Jonah chapter number 1. Obviously, other people we can mention is David and Goliath. I'm pretty sure he went after Goliath because he already had enough faith in the Lord to believe that the Lord would protect him and help him. But I can't help but think that David, obviously, besides having faith, also feared God tremendously. He feared God more than Goliath, and he was able to defeat Goliath, and he had the guts to fight Goliath. Everybody else didn't. And we know that Moses is another example of somebody that feared God, especially when God turned his head into leprosy because he kept saying, I don't want to go. Send someone else. You know, I can't talk. I can barely walk or whatever. He's old. He's probably 80-something. So it was what it was. God's like, okay, you know, let me see your hand. Turns it into leprosy. Put it back in there. Take it out. Fixes it up. Hey, that will give me the fear real quick. 1 second, my hand's fine. The next second is leprous. Oh, what the heck? The next second, whoa, it's back to normal. Hey, I think it's best to listen to God and do what he tells you. Amen? So the more you hear the word of God, the more you see how God is, the more you'll grow that fear that God commands us all to have, and we'll get into that later. But another example, somebody that was obviously greatly used by God, and that's my second point. You know, my first point is that you need the fear of God. You need the fear of God in order for you to be able to do the right thing, no matter how tough it is. Without it, you're going to fall into sin. You can take it to the bank when you see people falling to sin. You're like, man, what happened? The fear of God dipped. It's non-existent in some people. You're like, man, how could they say or do those things? Fear of God is gone. They've lost it. and they will suffer for it. But take heed lest we fall, lest we lose that fear, lest we start to think, you know, something that obviously is not biblical, and we start following our heart, which is deceitful above all things. But the second reason why we have to have that fear of God is because it is what it is. You know, you need to have it if you want to be used greatly by God. Right there in Jonah, we're just going to start from verse number 5 for the sake of time. I'm hoping to finish up in about 30 minutes, no more than an hour, obviously. But we can see here with Jonah, you know, Jonah says something very interesting when obviously at this point he decides, I'm going to go to the other place, not where God told me to go. He gets in a boat. Hey, the winds are tearing it up. You know, everybody on the boat gets scared. Hopefully that doesn't happen on our cruise. Amen. But even if it does, hey, I'll be fine because I'm just going to say what Jonah said. Hey, I am a Hebrew and I fear God. No, I'm just kidding. But if it comes down to, hey, yes, it's dangerous. Yes, it's a fearful situation. But everybody but Jonah, you know, was freaking out. And I wonder why, because Jonah knew what was going on. And at that point, the wind, the storm, the water, everybody panicking, probably wasn't affecting him much. Why? Because, yes, those things are fearful to go through. But, hey, in his own words, this is what Jonah said. And he said unto them, after they asked him, what is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Not exactly the words I said, but it's the same thing. He fears God. I fear the Lord and the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Go ahead and go to Job chapter number 1. So we see that Job, obviously, is one of the guys that went through something horrible, but he didn't quit. He continued to serve God. We saw that Jonah went through some trials. He was told to do something difficult, but at the end, he got it done. He wasn't perfect. That ought to remind us all that, hey, you don't have to be perfect. And with a healthy dose of fearing God, you can get a lot accomplished like Jonah did. Amen? But Job, if we look at Job, let's start with verse number 8. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God. Making it very clear. He feared God. Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? So it wasn't a secret that Job feared God. And that was one of the reasons he was able to succeed. Not the only reason, because you saw right there that he hated evil and he stayed away from it. But it's amazing how this is what God said about Job. Upright man, so it's not just about fearing God, but we're focusing on fearing God tonight. He makes it very clear he was a perfect man, upright man. He did the right thing. He was known for being a righteous person. And God said himself, one that feareth God. Does that sound like something you want God to say about you? I know I do. And that's my biggest fear. Like, what's your biggest fear? I mean, what do you think is going to happen with Trump and all these different people? Because I just went and got a haircut, and the lady that cut my hair, she's freaking out about Trump. And not necessarily for herself, but she's like, man, I don't know what Trump's going to be up to. I got relatives that they've been here for 30 years. They've been paying taxes for 30 years, but the government refused. They don't have a criminal record. They came here to work. They're doing their best to be American citizens, but the government just doesn't want to give them anything. They take their taxes, and yes, that is possible. I know someone, a relative as well, who she had a tax ID number, and she got taxed on everything she made. But, hey, they never gave her papers. It's just how it was. And they were here since age 6. It's not like they crossed themselves. Hey, it was just that situation. I'm sure a lot of people in this country had that situation where they get brought here with little children. They go to high school. In fact, I heard, I don't know what high school it was, but the valedictorian, the main person, the nerdy of the nerds, I guess, whatever you want to call it. As you can tell, I was never one. But one had a speech, and she was here without papers. You guys hear about that one? And I was like, really? Wow. But, hey, Trump's going to get rid of 10 million immigrants. So she's panicking for her relatives. I don't know. Hopefully nothing crazy happens. I'm just sitting there like, hey, my biggest fear is fearing God. That's what I worry about more than anything. Why? Because, like I said, these are the things you're going to need. One, to be able to do the hard things in life. When you want to quit, you better fear God because you know what's going to happen. Read Jonah. Hurry up and read it. You don't want to end up like him by saying no, starting to quit, starting to disobey. You don't want to go that route. And obviously, besides that, if you want to be greatly used by God, you have to be somebody that fears him. And this isn't something new. Let me just read from Acts. It talks about Cornelius. He wasn't even saved. It just says Cornelius was a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. It's amazing how this isn't even something as Christian you can say. It's just common sense. For example, Exodus. This is Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. He's giving him advice, and he says this: hey, you need some help. Go get some people. Go get some men to help you out. You know, you're doing too much. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place us over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. Go to Psalms 128.1. Go to Psalms 128.1. So far you can see that, hey, if you want God, you know, to help you to do the hard things, you have to be a man that fears him. And honestly, if you focus on fearing God, and like I said, my biggest fear is that I don't fear God enough. I'm like, man, I mean, if I'm going to be known for something, I guess that's one thing I want to be known for. I don't even know if it's possible to be the most God-fearing person on the planet. But somebody probably is at this moment, and I hope that guy continues to keep it up. Lord, help that guy to stay the most fearful person on the planet. Because it's a good thing. It's something that will help you. Because guess what? Yes, things can get ugly. But don't worry about what such and such says they're going to do, or this person says they're going to do, or that person says that they're going to do this, do that. It's like, I don't worry about any of that. My biggest fear is that I don't fear God enough. I need to just worry about fearing God. And guess what? He promised that he's going to bless me. You're on Psalms 128. Psalms 128.1. So to quickly review, hey, my biggest fear is not fearing God enough. Why is it good to fear God? Because it's going to help you do the hard things. Why is it good to fear God? Because that's what good looks like. God looks at that, you know, to see who he's going to use in a mighty way. He's looking to see, like Job, hey, who fears me? Who's a God-fearing individual? That's the person I'm going to use. And if you want to be used by God, you want to do great things for God. And trust me, if you're here on a Wednesday night, I don't need to ask you, you want to do big things for God. I mean, I don't know how many people are in here right now, but it looks like at least 150, maybe 180. You know, you guys are all here on a Wednesday night, maybe because you thought Pastor was going to come, but hey, hate to disappoint you, right? But I highly doubt that's the only reason you show up. Hey, I show up because I love listening to Pastor Anderson, but I also want to please God. I also want to tell God, hey, God, I want to be used by you, and I want to learn the word as much as I can, and I want to obey you, you know, as much as I can, and hopefully he uses me to do something big before I die, because let's face it, everybody wants to do something big before they go. We want to save as many souls as we can, and we want to do something big for him, but it is what it is. Fearing God is one of the things you must have if you want to be used great by God. Amen? And the other thing as well, like I just said, if you want to be blessed, you have to be known as a person that fears God. Let's take a look at Psalms 128.1. It says, blessed is everyone that what? Feareth the Lord. Let's keep reading. Because obviously it's not just fearing God, being afraid of God. Yes, we understand you have to please God, and without faith it's impossible to please him, but also obviously obeying his commandments. So let's keep looking. I just want to point out very clearly that's the first thing on the list. So guess what? Start working on that if you're not that individual that fears God. And then we'll talk about how do you know if you're fearing God and how we can start to fear God. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Look at it. It says it again. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Go to Proverbs 28:14. Go to Proverbs 28:14. I'll read from Proverbs. Actually, go to Psalms 34. Just go to Psalms 34. Sorry about that. You guys are in Proverbs. I know it's a lot easier to go to Psalms and Matthew, so just go ahead and back up a little bit. Go to Psalms 34, meet me there. I'm going to read from Proverbs 28:14. It says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And that's the problem with Christians today. They start hardening their hearts. They stop listening like they should. They stop taking counsel. They start following their own little heart. And then we wonder, why is this person such an idiot? That's why. I mean, let me repeat it. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So you can take it to the bank. Why are these people acting this way? They harden their hearts. They're prideful. That's why they say and do what they do. But the person that fears God is a humble person. That's the person that's truly happy. Not the arrogant, prideful person that tells you how happy they are. Look at me. Look how happy I am. No, man, I know what the Bible says. Sorry, if I'm going to trust one, it's going to be the Bible. But Psalms 34 even continues to talk about this. It says, the angel of the Lord, these are the blessings. Obviously, you see that happiness is one of the blessings from fearing God. The other blessing is protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, or fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Go to Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6. Meet me in verse number 25. Go to Matthew 6, verse number 25. In fact, just head on over to 33. So I just want to show you in Psalms 34, it teaches the same thing as Matthew 6, 33. You know, just a reminder, Psalms 34 says that there is no want to them that fear him. One way to miss out in life is to stop fearing God. You will miss out. It's clear. It says, hey, there's no want to them. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That reminds me of Matthew 6, 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But let's take a look at Matthew 6, 25. Before Matthew 6, 33, you know, it starts at Matthew 6, 25, and it's all about fear. And this is what Jesus is teaching. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things that a Gentile seeks, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And we just read, number 33, by seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto you. So overall, what is Jesus saying? Hey, don't be afraid. Stop being so afraid. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry about the food, the raiment, all these things. Hey, you seek me, I'm going to make sure you have them. I'm going to provide for you. No good thing shall I withhold to them that walk uprightly. If you're going to worry about something, worry about fearing who? Him. Go ahead and go to Proverbs 3:17. So let me just quickly review. You must be a person that knows how to fear God, that fears God. It will help you do the right thing. Especially when it's tough, it would help you be used by God. If you want to do something big for God, you have to be a man that fears the Lord, that fears God. And it also is what you need. You must have it to be blessed. And Proverbs 23:17 says this, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So number four, just want to say that, hey, even if God didn't bless you, even if God, you know, didn't look for somebody who feared him in order to use him, at the bare minimum, it's something we should do because it's commandment. It says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. So it's clear that it's a commandment for us to fear God. So my biggest fear this year is that I don't fear God enough. I want to fear God as much as, I guess you can say, humanly possible. Why? Once again, because it's going to help me do the right thing, especially when it's tough. It's going to help me to be used by God. It's going to bring blessings upon my life to be somebody that fears God and decides I'm not going to sin because I know God will punish me. I know he can hurt me. In Matthew 10:28, once again, it's a commandment. Fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'll just read from Psalm 73:1 says this, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps have well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. Let me back up to Proverbs 23:17. It says, let not thy heart envy sinners. Envy sinners. And then we see in Psalm 73, for I was envious at the foolish. Hey, that's the difference between somebody who is fearing God and somebody who's not. Do you envy the wicked? Do you desire to have what they have? Do you look at the people that the world considers to be awesome, amazing, the rock stars, the movie stars, the rappers, whatever, TV shows? I mean, are these people that you strive to be like, that you kind of desire to be like? You need to stop doing that, because that's envying the wicked, and we shouldn't. But even in Galatians, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, let me stop there. This is Paul writing to the church of Galatia. And we already saw in Proverbs 23:17, it says, let not your heart envy who? Sinners. And Psalms, it makes it clear that this person says, for I was envious at the foolish. And not just that, we see in Galatians, it says, hey, let us not envy one another. So what am I getting at? We need to be careful that we envy one another and we provoke one another. This isn't provoking people to do something good. This is just provoking people for whatever reason. And it says that, hey, we shouldn't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And if I were to think of someone who does this a lot, I would have to say, hey, maybe I'm wrong for speaking about him and his wife, but hey, they came up on my radar this morning while setting up the YouTube stream by McMurtry and his wife. This is who I think of when I read this verse. What they do, they're trying to provoke us. And why? I can't help but think it's probably because they envy us. That's what I think. And guess what? It's not just the wicked that we need to be careful. It's also envying each other that we need to be careful. If you start doing that, you don't have the fear of God, because that's what it says up here. Let not your heart envy sinners, but instead of envying people, be in the fear of the Lord. Not some of the day, all the day long. All the day long. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. That's something you guys should know. But here's the thing. When I was listening to McMurtry just mocking and just making fun of us and just trying to provoke us to probably respond, who knows why he's doing it? I can't imagine that it's just him doing it out of a pure heart, out of a righteous heart. All I can tell you is that he's doing it probably out of envy. He probably sees something that pastor has and he wants that. He wants to basically make himself look good by making him look bad. Similar like a Bible character named Saul. Because I sometimes wondered, and I did wonder, and then the Bible revealed it to me right away. I was wondering, man, why are these people like constantly on us? Like, yeah, we talk about them, but it's mostly to correct them, to expose them. You know, but it seems like, hey, I'm done with them. I barely even think about them. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, what the heck is he up to now? Another video that he made about us? It's like, what in the world's up with this guy? He took the time to make this video, edit it, play three different characters. You know, and I'm thinking, man, what is up with this? Why is he our enemy continually? And then I read the Bible where it says that Saul became David's enemy continually. Why? Because he feared him. Because he feared him. And what does Proverbs 23:17 say? You become an envious person. And that's what happened with Saul. He started envying David. Look what they're saying about David. They're saying that killed thousands, but David killed 10,000s. So one way to figure out whether you're in the fear of the Lord or whether you're a person that fears God is, are you an envious person? Are you envying anyone? And from that point, it says that Saul became David's enemy continually because he feared him. So he was envious of him, and he feared him. Instead of fearing the Lord, guess what he ended up doing? Fearing man. And that will make you a wicked person. And that will make you a stupid person, too. Because, hey, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, he's not going to bless you with wisdom. And so I'm like, all right, whatever. Since Mrs. McMurtry's video came up, I'm like, I'm cleaning the building. Let me listen to what she has to say. And so I did. You know, I started listening to the last video she posted like 2 days ago. And she's crying about how people don't like her. And she's like, I don't know why these pastors in these churches like are afraid of me, you know? Well, I'm going to tell you one person who's not afraid of you. It's me. I don't worry about you. My biggest fear is not Cassandra McMurtry or Pastor McMurtry. My biggest fear is not fearing God enough. That's what I focus on the most. Not wondering, why don't people like me? I could figure it out if I read the Bible. It'll reveal it to me. But that's the only thing I could think of, this woman. And she's like, I just don't see why, you know, people are afraid of me. You know, she's really puffed up. Like her husband. Like she thinks she's the star of the show. Like we're all like, man, she's like our enemy. She's like enemy number one or something. And then she's like wondering, no, let me just tell you guys who I am. Let me tell you my beliefs out there. And then at the end, you guys decide whether I'm such a danger, you know, to churches that pastors are literally, and I don't know, but let me just make it clear. If there's a church out there that's telling people not to listen to Cassandra McMurtry, I don't think it's this one because I never heard pastor say that to anybody. He's never said that to me. And I could care less if my wife wants to listen to Mrs. McMurtry. I think she's wasting her time. But I'm like, dang, babe, after you clean, after you cook, after you take care of the kids, after you take them to jujitsu, if you got like enough time to waste and you want to just brain rot your brain or something, yeah, go ahead. You know, just want to just like relax and just let your brain go or whatever, like no real value. It's just kind of like whatever, better than a worldly movie. Yeah, watch whatever she has to say. And I was like, fine. He's like, you're going to probably get the same amount of wisdom out of it. So I started to listen. And I'm just like, is this woman like this insane in real life? Because, I mean, I listened to a video like a long time ago. And then from that point, I just stopped listening to this woman because she was full of flattery. And it was the video where she interviewed Pastor and Mrs. Anderson, starts asking him questions. And one of the things that she kept saying, and I brought this up to my wife, I'm like, Cassandra, I don't even know much about her, but this woman just is the most flattery. She just loves to flatter. And I literally told my wife, I bet you she's going to become our enemy down the road. Because this is what she kept saying. She kept asking questions, just almost like embarrassing questions. Like, these aren't appropriate questions. You know, like, which one of you guys is the most romantic one? Like, really? She really wanted to know. And so, of course, at least they agreed. Ms. Anderson's like, oh, it's him. It's Pastor. And Pastor's like, yeah, that would be me. And she's like, oh. She's like, oh, that's so cute. You guys are just like us. She kept saying it, just like us. Where's Kendrick Lamar when you need him? You're not like us. You're not like us. You're not like us. Do you remember that, Mrs. Anderson? Hate to put you on the spot. But if you think I'm lying, go watch it and waste your time. If you got time to kill, you know, on the toilet or something, you kind of want to see if I'm lying. You know, like you got time to kill, you like want to watch something that's like whatever. She said that so many times. Oh, you guys are just like us. Just like us. And I'm thinking, no, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's like they're not like you, but they're just like us. Like, what are you trying to, like, just lie to people or whatever? And here's a perfect example. She basically was talking about, this is what I believe, and you guys decide whether you think that I'm this bad. And what she said was extremely bad. Extremely bad. Let me tell you what she starts out by doing. She starts out by saying that, hey, there's churches out there that are afraid of me. They literally tell their people not to listen to me. And I wonder why. Why am I such a danger to these churches? You know, because obviously it's only like maybe a handful now. It's either First Works Baptist or Faithful Word Baptist. She's acting like we're always like bringing her up, like, don't listen to this woman. You know, she's dangerous. And she's like, well, I wonder why they're afraid of me. Is it because I'm against abuse and blah, blah, blah? And then she starts saying, well, let me tell you what I believe. Let me see your other side, whether it's that bad. First thing she starts telling us is she's telling us that there's ladies in these churches that are emailing her, telling her about their abusive relationship or something like that. And they're basically just using some kind of secret email, emailing her so they can't find out who they are because they're afraid of the pastor and the people and the husband or whatever. And so they're like, I just want to let you know that I listened to you in the past. I stopped listening to you, but now I'm listening to you more against my husband's will. And she didn't correct that. She didn't take the humble approach where it's like, hey, listen, if your husband says not to listen to me, obey your husband. Don't listen to me. That's not what she did. She's like, oh, yeah, well, you know what? Screw your husband. Screw what he says. Because she didn't say, oh, my husband, you know what I'm saying, is telling me that it's okay to listen to you. No, she's saying that there's ladies from these churches that are secretly emailing her, that she has hundreds of emails, but she's not going to say who it is because she's not like that. But she's basically telling people, hey, you know what? If you want to listen, thank you for listening to me. Screw what your husband says. Because I'm telling you right now, it wasn't like, hey, me and my husband, we go to this church and we love listening to you, but we can't really tell anyone because we feel like they're going to persecute us. It wasn't like that. It's like, hey, I just want to let you know that I used to listen to you. I stopped listening to you, but now I'm listening to you again. But I have to do it in secret because they keep telling me not to listen to you. Who's the day? Her husband? You think that's right for her to do that? She didn't correct this woman. And you may think, brothers and girls, it's not that bad. Okay, then the next one surprised me. I didn't realize that Cassandra is about birth control. I don't know if you guys knew about that. Not the hormonal junk, but she believes in birth control. She believes it's okay for the natural whatever to decide, okay, you know what? This is the time when I'm the most fruitful. Let's not have a relationship during those days. Let's focus on these other days where there's a least chance of me getting pregnant because, oh, yeah, you know, if the woman needs to recover or if too many kids are going to drive her crazy, you guys might want to take that route. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. And I'm sorry, but when I got married, sorry, babe, but, yeah, your body, my choice. For life. And the Bible says that the wife is not allowed to say no without consent. And this is the thing that concerns her. It's like, no. You know, it's like if your body needs recovery time, you tell your husband anytime except these fruitful moments. I don't care if he's in the mood. I don't care if he wants it right there and then. No, forget it. Nah, not happening. It's for the sake of the woman. No, I don't buy that whatsoever. Because God is the one that opens and closes the womb, Cassandra, and that's basic Bible. And of course she wants to, like, earn cool points by saying, I've been saved since age 4. I can save at age 4. Look at my fruit. Look what I produce. You know, I'm someone you should listen to. When flat out she starts a little podcast by saying, hey, you want to listen to me? Who cares what your husband say? You listen to me, all right? She didn't rebuke the people emailing her saying, hey, if your husband doesn't want you to listen to me, you need to do what your husband tells you. Plus, the Bible's out there. You really don't need me. I'm just doing this because I got extra time, which she doesn't. She says that even in her podcast. So does I'm going crazy. What the heck are you doing on a podcast then? Go take care of your business at home. And then she goes and she starts talking about spanking teenagers. Don't spank your teenagers. Well, wonder why we recommend our wives don't listen to you, Cassandra. Because you start out by telling our wives it's okay to disobey us. Just do it in secret. You know, because what I have to say is worth your husband finding out and being pissed at you for disobeying him. Because we're so scared of her and what she has to say. Nah, I don't care. Hey, I recommend you go listen to her latest video. Who's seen it so far? I recommend y'all go listen to it and tell me if I'm crazy with the kind of crap that she's saying. Babe. Homework assignment, watch her entire 55-minute video tonight, all right? You watch it. No going to bed until you watch it, all right? Let's all make sure it has 1,000 views by tomorrow. Let's get to that because we're so afraid of her that we're, like, telling people, don't listen to this woman. And then she's like, well, I don't understand why they are so afraid of me. It's not that we're afraid of you. It's that you say stupid stuff. You're literally starting out your video by telling us how many women are emailing you that, hey, they don't care if their husbands are telling them not to listen to you. They're going to listen to you secretly. Keep it up, girl. We support you, girl. She didn't rebuke any of these ladies. It would have been nice. It would have been like, hey, listen, if your husband doesn't want you to listen to me, don't listen to me. You obey your husband. That's the right way to have a marriage. He's in charge, all right? You know, but if your husband wants to sit down and watch it, hey, go for it, whatever. She didn't do that. Second thing is like, oh, I believe in birth control. Not the hormonal stuff, but this kind. This kind is okay. No kind is okay. And yeah, you can hit me how my wife almost died. Listen, God knows. God knows your body better than anyone does, even yourself. If God wants your body to be healed up, he's going to make sure it gets healed up. And yes, ladies in the Bible got pregnant, and guess what? They died during childbirth. Read Genesis. You'll figure it out. But that woman didn't do anything wrong. You can't be like, oh, well, if I died, then it's because I was being stupid. No, God is the one that opened and closed the womb. It's basic Bible. But then let's get to the teenagers, where she said, I don't recommend you spank your teenagers. By that time, if your teenagers are so rebellious, you screwed up. You messed up. You know, it's like, that's what I believe. Well, you know what? She lives in a picture-perfect world. But let me tell you right now that my mom spanked me and my brothers when we were teenagers, because we were really bad teenagers. My dad got locked up. He's in a Mexican prison for trafficking drugs with a cartel. Then all she's left is with 4 kids in the San Francisco Bay Area, one of the most expensive places to live. She just didn't give up. She just decided, okay, I got to find more work. Ended up getting like 3 jobs at one time. And guess what? One day, my brother, hopefully my brother ain't listening to this. One of my brothers, I'm not going to say who it is, was busted by my mom smoking weed. Guess what she did? She grabbed him by the hair, started yelling at him, took her chancla off, and let him have it. She let this bad boy have it. And guess what? When I saw that, I'm like, oh, snap, I'm out. Because I didn't want to be next. And it was just her. She had to be the mom and the dad. And not only that, I disobeyed her one time. I stayed at my friend Armando's house a little too long. She's like, be here by 9. I'm like, 9 o'clock. I stayed there by 10. Next thing you know, who's screaming outside the house, screaming my name? My mom. Cristo! Cristo! Guess what happens next? Yo, bro, your mom's outside, bro. I was like, no way. She is, bro. I'm like, oh. So guess what? As soon as she got out, guess what she did? Grabs me by the ear, takes off the trunk line, and starts giving me the trunk line in front of my friends. I must have been 16 at the time. And at that point, we didn't mess around with moms. We're like, no, we're good. Not because we couldn't take her, but because we knew she would do it in front of everybody. And I'm going to tell you right now, my brother did not smoke weed after he got whooped the first time. It was over. Maybe he did, but I don't think so. And she was ready. And one time, I come home, and she's like, oh, so you like to smoke weed, huh? I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? I've never smoked weed in my life. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I knew what she was getting ready to do is give me a good one. I'm like, no, hold up. Stand by, time out. What do you mean? I don't smoke weed. She's like, I know. But I didn't realize that Marco smoked weed. I didn't realize that Pablo smoked weed. I'm like, Mom, how do you know they smoke weed? Well, it just so happened that we were at a football field in high school, the practice field. And, yeah, I was hanging out with a bunch of idiots smoking weed. I didn't smoke it, but they were smoking it up. You know, it was during lunchtime. They're all smoking weed at the practice field. Well, I did notice that there were some guys working on the trees. They were working on the tree lines. Well, guess what? One of them knew my mom. One of them was on a tree trimming it, watching me the entire time. And guess what he did? He called my mom and says, hey, your boy's over here hanging out with a bunch of people smoking weed, just to let you know. And he's like, okay, I'll talk to him when he comes home. Had I smoked the joint, oh, I would have got the chancla like massively more than my brother did. But what kind of dumb advice is that? I'm telling you, in a picture little world, yeah, it may work with those kids, but I'm telling you, we would have gotten in a lot more trouble had my mom gotten that advice from Mrs. McMurtry. Don't spank your kids. You're already screwed up. Hey, those kids are teenagers now. It's too little, too late. No, trust me. My brother probably would have been a drug dealer if my mom didn't embarrass him, grab him by the hair, and started smacking him and hitting him. Because we knew if we punch her or fight back, she's going to call the cops. And none of us wanted to go with those gangbangers in juvie. We knew that was coming. So it was enough where we knew, hey, if we hit her in any way, she's going to call the cops. She ain't messing around. We're going to get locked up tonight, and they're going to put us with the other thugs that are really crazy. You know, because we weren't gangster like that. I did not want anything to do with those juvie kids. Those juvie kids were bad. They were bringing guns to school, like ankle monitors, the whole thing. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm not about to get locked up with them. What do you want me to do, Mom? You know, so yeah, that's how she kept us in check. And she had 4 of us, and I was the second oldest. The oldest didn't get in much trouble, but the third one was the worst one, and he had to get in more than the rest of us. But once you get it as a teenager and know she's serious and she'll come find you if you don't come home in time, I didn't want that embarrassment anymore. But if she would have followed Mrs. McMurtry's advice, I'd probably be locked up as well. I probably would have took it further. Knowing that Mom doesn't care, she ain't going to do scrap to me. It's like, no, bad, dumb advice. And come on, that's even the dumbest advice when you see people that are literally not. I mean, what does the Bible command? If you have a child and he doesn't listen to you, after you chastise him, he doesn't want to listen, you take him to the elders, say, this is our son, he's a drunkard, he doesn't want to work, he doesn't listen to us. Hey, guess what? After you've chastised him, this is a grown man, probably, who knows, a guy, a young man, who knows? But how could she read that scripture and then give that dumb advice? It's just ridiculous. And yeah, I don't spank my teenagers, but hey, if they want to test me, hey, come test me. You know, I ain't going to hesitate. But I love my kids. I think I'm literally blessed with the best kids on the planet, but I'm sure everybody feels the same way. You know, but then she talks about how she goes nuts sometimes at the house because the kids don't listen to her. I mean, that was just bad advice. The whole thing about like, yeah, you know what? If your husband doesn't want you to listen, you keep listening. Who are they to tell you not to listen? That's bad advice. That's teaching you're teaching her to be disobedient at the bare minimum. Second thing is birth control, regardless of what you feel. Hey, God opens and closes the womb. It's basic Bible. Hey, if your wife gets pregnant, don't worry about it. You know, God will take care of it. I mean, she's like, oh, because I had 3 kids in 3 years. We had 3 kids in 3 years. Where's my son, Chris? Over there. 17 years old. Where's Ace? 16 years old. Where's Sagan? 15 years old. My wife survived. She was fine, McMurtry. I don't know how old was the next one when it came out. Who's next? Who's next? How old are you? 13, right? Okay, finally we figured it out. But it was from advice from Mrs. A, just to let you know. Because my wife wasn't breastfeeding. She was pumping. We didn't know until we heard it from her. Then we're like, whoa, I think this is what we're doing wrong. Next time, you know what to do. Guess what? 2 years after each one. So Cassandra doesn't want to confess that she must have done something wrong. But even if she didn't and that's what God wanted, worked out just fine. And in fact, it's even better. They're like jiu-jitsu partners. They help each other win medals all the time. Amen? What if they're 2 years apart? Would have been a little more difficult. I'm glad that they're pretty close together. Maybe they're not, but I am. But that wouldn't have been possible if I listened to her. And I'm like, well, you know, if your wife doesn't really feel like having a kid, you know, anytime soon, this is a way you can do it, the Christian way. And don't even get me started. She believes in Christian separation. Christian separation, i.e., y'all need to separate. She lives there. She lives there. Well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say this. But listen, Mrs. McMurtry, I don't know what world you're living in, but let me help you live in the real world. Yeah, telling these couples, whoever they are, Christian separation, oh, you're having a hard time. You guys need to separate. You know what? That may work for you, McMurtry, and you, Mrs. McMurtry, because Mrs. McMurtry, I mean, I don't know, in the back hills, wherever you're from, you're probably like an Alabama 7. But in the real world, you're probably like a 2, a 3, a 4. In other words, you're not that attractive. You're just not. I'm just being honest with this woman. At least she fixed the eyebrows. Back in the day, they were like back here. She had like Red Sea. She had like the Red Sea parting her eyebrows. And when I saw that, I'm like, man, this woman looks whack. I don't even think she's in the right mind. And that plus the flattery is like, I don't think I'll ever listen to this woman ever again. She's trying to preach the law, doesn't understand the law. But yeah, you, your husband with his booty chin and his old butt and his big old head, yeah, there ain't going to be too many girls going after him if y'all separate. But let me explain something to you. Not everyone's an Alabama 7. You understand what I'm saying? If some girl's good looking, let me tell you what's going to happen with this Christian separation. Pastor Mike Ray, the pastor of Hopewell Baptist Church in Napa Valley, had this issue where a young couple, they were having problems. They were young. They were having problems. But this was a good-looking couple. So guess what happened? They decided to try this Christian separation. You know what happened? All these dogs in his Baptist church started going after her, wanting to go soul winning with her, giving her a shoulder to cry. Guess what they were trying to do? They were trying to steal her because she was better looking than Mrs. McMurtry. That's what's going to happen. In the real world. Now, I'm not going to make fun of Christians about things that they can change. If you notice, I'm not attacking anything that she can't change. God made her the way she is. God made her an Alabama 7. You know, that's what God wanted. Booty chin McMurtry, little manlet, you know, with a body of a 13-year-old trying to act all tough and manly, just mouths off to people, you know, because he knows that, hey, we fear God, and we're not going to knock him out if he were to say something in front of my face. We just keep it straight. All right, man, you're just talking, whatever. But you know darn well that if it weren't for the fear of God, he'd probably get in some physical altercations with a bunch of crazy individuals if he were to talk to them the way he makes fun of other people. But at the end of the day, that's some serious bad advice. Christian separation, are you kidding me? Guess what happened in Napa? Pastor Mike Gray got so mad, he yelled at all the men during the service. He's like, you, and he pointed them out. He's like, you men trying to flirt with this young lady over here who's trying to fix her marriage. You know what? Shame on you. Shame on you. And he says, and if anybody ends up marrying this woman, I'm telling you, the day you die, I'm going to do your funeral and I'm going to spit in your grave. That's what he said to these guys that were trying to hit on this lady that was doing Christian separation. No. Y'all need to talk if there's problems. That's the best way to fix it. Communication, get it going. The worst thing is separating, especially if your wife is good looking. Guess what's going to happen? Pharaoh's going to come get her. And you better hope that God steps in and he causes Pharaoh to give her back without even ever touching her. More bad advice from Mr. McMurtry. Hey, you want to listen to me? You go ahead and do so. Who are they to tell you what to do? Hey, you know what? You want to spank your teenagers? Bad idea. Don't spank your teenagers. You know what? You don't want to have a baby soon because you just don't feel like you're in the best shape possible, whatever the case may be. You know what? There's ways to do it, Christian style. You having problems in your marriage? Y'all may have to do Christian separation. Stupid idea after stupid idea after stupid idea. And then she wonders, why do Christians hate me? Why do these churches hate me? We don't hate you, Mrs. McMurtry. We hate what you say. Because I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're saved, that you got saved at age 4 or whatever. I'll give your husband the benefit of the doubt that he's saved. He's just an idiot. But I'm going to tell you right now, I do doubt your guys' salvation. I just do. You guys hang around a bunch of idiots like Tyler Baker, who has proven to be a heretic, a oneness heretic, false prophet, and then you give him respect, and you bring him on your show, and you call him pastor, and this and that, and whatever. And some of the stuff you say and do drives me completely nuts. Because why? Because I don't think they fear God. I don't think they do. Or God will give them the wisdom to figure this whole thing out and not give stupid advice on your stupid little show, just 55 minutes long. As you probably said other dumb stuff, but that was like the worst. Like, how is this woman not seeing that, hey, this is the kind of stuff that we don't like our wives to hear because it's bad advice. You're going to ruin people. Think about it. My mom would have listened to the advice about not spanking teenagers. Trust me, my brother would have kept on smoking weed, probably got into worse sins, but we knew that she was serious. The minute he got the chancla, it's like, all right, man, I'm good with that. You just got to understand that the Bible doesn't say until they turn whatever. That's her speaking her mind. And she needs to stop because it's dumb. And she's making herself look dumb. And Pastor McMurtry doesn't give a crap that she looks dumb because he probably believes the same dumb stuff. So we're doing our best to teach you guys, you know, what the truth is. But at the end of the day, how do you know if you're fearing God? Here's how. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and a froward mouth. What's a froward mouth? A disobedient mouth. Helping people be disobedient is not what God wants. That's not somebody that's fearing the Lord. That's the opposite. She wants to be smart. Hey, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. Princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. Nobles, even all the judges. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I don't believe these people are seeking God early at all. Just listen to how it starts her video. She's very prideful. She's very arrogant. And these 6 things does the Lord hate, yea, 7 abomination, proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. If anything, we don't like your show, Mrs. McMurtry, because you guys are constantly, like it says right there, sowing discord among brethren. Why else let your husband make that stupid video mocking our pastor? And then she's like, even for the haters, y'all got to admit this is funny. It ain't funny whatsoever. You're making it seem like Pastor Anderson cannot get along with pre-tribbers. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just go check his stupid little Spirit of Prophecy video. He made a video just mocking our pastor for about 15 minutes. And she thinks that we think it's funny. That is not funny. Not even close. And besides that, it is what it is. Maybe I said too much. I don't know. But at the end of the day, hey, we don't fear you, Mrs. McMurtry, just to let you know. We just don't. If I fear anything, it's the fact that I may not fear God enough. And I need to fear him as much as I can. Why? Once again, to help me do hard things when they come across my path. 2, because I want to be used big by God. 3, because guess what? It is what it is. You have to be a person that fears God if you want to be blessed. And obviously, 4, in case you didn't figure out, hey, God does not want us to just take sin lightly. He just doesn't. And if you read your Bible, you don't need to watch dumb podcast videos by women that don't know what they're talking about. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. Obviously, Father, it is what it is. You know, we ask you, Lord, to just be with us and protect us and to help people grow. And, Lord, just help us to get stronger as a church and not just that, but Christianity in general, Lord, Christianity worldwide. Lord, I think overall Christianity is looking dumber and dumber. I don't know if it's just the internet people, but, Father, we need to get back to the Word. We need to get back to fearing you so you can give us wisdom. And not just that, dear Father, we just ask you to just help us, Lord, to win as many souls as possible this year. But it's only going to happen if we stay humble and if we just fear you and no one else. And we ask you to do this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Lastly, let's turn our hymnals to song number 135. Song number 135, I Know That I Am Saved. We'll sing it through twice. Song number 135. Sing it out.
I know.